بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One person came to the madrasa in Deoband in the early days when the madrasa had started. Madrasa commenced around 1857 and around the early 1800s was the martyrdom and the shahadat of Maulana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He must have been martyred around 1855 somewhere. And the madrasa started 1857. This person came to the madrasa and he says that I had a very strange experience. So what happened? It's around 2 o'clock in the morning. There was a knock on the door. So I asked, "Who is it?" Then it was my son. And my son was already shaheed already. I was sure about it that he was shaheed. The news had come yet. Been shaheed. Nonetheless, he gave the name. So I opened the door and my son is telling me he just get the lounge cleared up nicely, put the new carpet because Maulana Ismail Shaheed Sahib, Sayyid Sahib all coming in. Their excitement, I didn't care to ask them, all martyred, how come they came in. So the new carpet, I put on the new carpet. And while the carpets were being arranged, so I told my son, "But I heard you were shaheed." He said, "Yeah, I am shaheed." "What are you doing here then?" "And how did you get shaheed? Where did they hit you?" So he had a rumal over his head, he pulled out a rumal, and he split his head in two pieces like this. So this how, hey, I can't see this, put it together again. In that commotion, when he split the head, his own head, there were some marks of some blood, you know, all over the carpet. So they sat for some time, they spoke happily and all that, they asked for permission and they went away. I'm thinking for a long time, is this real or not real? But how can I say that it's not real when I saw it myself? And the stains of the blood is still there. How can I say that it wasn't real? His grandfather's name was Farid. So, in the old days, now you're traveling by caravan. Sometimes it's horse-driven, sometimes it's ox-driven. So they're traveling and they're surrounded by highway robbers. So Maulana's grandfather was a good archer. So he took his place and he's shooting, got one person, second person, aiming everybody out, out, out. So I don't know how many he killed. In the meanwhile, they aimed for him. And they got him and they killed him. He became martyred. So for a long time, his granny says that Nana should come and he'll bring fruit and mitais. And he would say, "Now this will continue, but you must just remain silent. If you talk about it, this will close up. It continued for some good days. She got scared because now she's thinking to herself that what will people say now? It's a widow, and where she's getting mitai, sweetmeats and fruit, fresh food, where she's getting from. So they'll have doubts against her integrity. So she went and mentioned it to someone, and the thing stopped, finished. In Afghanistan, in the 1800s, there was some jihad there, a lot of martyrs. Someone, group of people were traveling. They saw a masjid around a certain time or something, and made wuzu, got in. They saw one jamaat already taking place. The person is the imam, and they're ordering namaz in jamaat. So this one person went and joined in. So that person that was in namaz, he pushed him and said, "Wait, make your own namaz. We are all martyrs. What we're doing is not for us. What you have to do is for us. So muftaris khalf al mutanaffil is not permissible. Even that martyr is telling him, muftaris khalf al mutanaffil is not permissible. So you go make your own jamaat." See that they also, they following masla. Not only in this world, even there. That what you're going to be performing is nafil. What we are performing is nafil, because after you leave the realms of this world, namaz is not compulsory, it's compulsory. And for you, namaz is compulsory. So you can't follow us, because our namaz is just by the way, we're just passing time. And your namaz is for us. So your namaz can't be permissible behind us. Go make your own jamaat. One person is exploring. You get some people coming to explore. So he's exploring Afghanistan. And now he's one out, going in the open jungles, mountains, and all that. There's no house. In the distance, he sees one house. There's a light there. So he knocked at the door. So that person told him, "There's no accommodation." So he insisted, "I got no other place now. I'm stranded. I got no other place. Just allow me for the night at least." He says, "No, if you have to stay at my place, then you must promise me that you will not open the door the entire night. You won't open the door, you won't open any windows." Now, what is his work? His work is to explore, historian, he wants to go and explore, so he wants to see things. And now this person gave him that sega, you know, started it off. So he must open the door, don't open the window. So he must open the window now. Had he not told him, perhaps he wouldn't have opened. But because he started him off, late at night he heard some small noise, some crying noise, so he opened the door. As he opened the door, he sees swines coming out from some hole, deep hole, they were coming out, all sizes, small, short, fat, thin, coming out, and they're crying, and they go back into that hole. So around the morning Fajr time, he's telling the host now, "This is what I saw." I said, "But I told you, you mustn't open the door. Why open it?" So he said, "It's happened now, it's happened. You're khalas now, you can't talk about it. It's finished." He said, "These are the bodies, these were the English that fought here against the Muslim. But ever since they've been killed, from that time to now, every day they come out, some part of the night, they come out in this shape, swines. They cry, and they go back. لا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا. the martyrs, then don't consider them to be dead. The quality of life is far superior to every other life. The life of the martyr is far superior than the life of everybody else. Balahyaun. These people, Allah bears testimony that they are alive. So when he says that they are alive, then the quality of the life is far superior. Like you say, your fingertips, right? It's got some sensation, right? Sensation, the finest thing you can perceive it. You can pick it up with the fingertips. And a blind person can perceive even better. Same fingertips. You try and do the braille, can you read it? Then can you imagine the level of the sensitivity in that blind person, that just with that braille you can pick it up and you can read fast, like how you read with your eyes, you read with his fingers. So what must be the level of the sensitivity of his fingers? Can you imagine how sensitive the fingers are? Right? So you also have fingertips and he also has fingertips. But is there any munasabat? No comparison. Huh? He is far greater than yours. But even that person that is teaching braille, he can't read it. Ask Mona Marchi, ask him to read with his fingers, he can't read it. Maybe one, two words he'll pick it up. But he can't read more than that. He can teach them, so many blind he thought. But ask him to read that braille, he can't do it. So you see, it's two same persons, two human beings. But you see the level of the sensitivity. His sensitivity is far greater. So who's given that sensitivity? Allah Pak has given it. Because he's taken out one thing from him and he's replaced it on his fingers. So the same happens to the martyr. The sensitivity goes very high. His sensitivity is not like normal. It goes very, very high. Therefore Allah Pak says, don't even think them, don't even consider them to be dead. You can't perceive their life, but if you can't perceive, it doesn't mean they are dead. You can't see it. Like that blind person, you can't perceive the level of his sensitivity. But if you can't perceive it, does it mean that he can't perceive things? He's perceiving it, you can't see it. Balahyaun, so these people are alive. Now, why have they been blessed with life? And a very superior quality of life. The reason why they have been blessed with a superior quality of life, because they gave their life. So there must be some type of a comparison, what some type of a semblance between what you gave and what you get. You gave something, so what you get in return, there'll be some semblance, some resemblance. So you gave life, and you're getting life. Ibrahim alayhi salam had offered a life and he got a life, isn't it? He offered life and in return he got a life, life of a lamb, isn't it? So there is, generally there is a semblance between what you gave and what you receive. You gave something and what you get in return, there is a resemblance of what you gave and what you get. So the martyr gives life. Now, in our context, it is difficult to give life. Right? So then what can we do? So there are some things that we can do that we can also maybe be near those people. Amongst the things we can do is, like Hadith says, Raja'ana min al jihad al asghar ila al jihad al akbar. We have come back from a small jihad to a major jihad. Although there is kalam on the hadith, but overall the meaning is preserved. We have come back. We have returned from a small jihad to a major jihad. And what is the major jihad? The major jihad is jihad ala nafs. And why is this called the major jihad? The reason is simple. If you are fighting on the battlefield, you gave your life and it's over, right? You offer your life and then you finish, khalas. But jihad against your nafs, that's continuous. Today this girl, she's too attractive and I make jihad on your nafs. Don't watch. Isn't it difficult? Right? One person came today, so he's telling me that his mother or someone sent him to the mall. Handsome, good-looking person. So his mother sent him to the mall. Big, 20, 25 years of age perhaps, or even elder. So he went to the mall. So from the other end, one woman, also smart-looking, she came to him. So he avoided her, and he went to a different section. She came behind him again. He avoided her again for the second time. About 3-4 times she came, deliberately wants to start a conversation. And for the third or the fourth time, he had to avoid and continue. Now, normally, when a man starts a woman, right? If you start a woman, it is easier for her to avoid you, to ignore you and move away. Because she's naturally blessed with shame. And if she starts you, especially if it's a beautiful girl, then what happens to you? You feel elated. Hey, I'm so attractive. Eh? Even she is after me. There's something great in me. That's how you feel. And she feels different. She, hey, what's wrong? What's the stupid person, what is he doing here? But if the girl comes towards you, then what happens? Huh? So that is the time for jihad. When she is pursuing you, and I was surprised, young person, and about 3-4 times that girl came after him, came right in front, and she's forcing her way on him. For the first time, he avoided her. Now his mother asked him to do that work, so you have to do that work. Second time, had it been just one time, I would have told him, but that is just your imagination that the girl came for you. She must have come some other work. But 4 times this thing came in front and she's forcing herself. And 4 times he avoided. So that's another jihad. But this jihad here is a continuous thing. It's not once off. But it's continuous. Today, tomorrow again, another one jihad coming up. Right? Sometimes the jihad is in the business that you are doing. Right? There can be a lot of situations in business, right? In the business, one person is bringing on consignment and you know it's stolen goods, right? You know about it. And he's selling it to you for a song. And you need the money now. And you know you can't get caught. The way this thing is worked out, this whole consortium is worked out, you can't get caught. The way it's beautifully worked out, you see, that you can't get caught out. But in all that you say, no, I have to make jihad against my nafs. And you don't take it. So is this easy? Is it difficult? You know, there is no chance of you getting caught, implicated, coming at a song. Customers are ready to purchase the product. All you have to do is buy it and you'll get 10 times the profit. Where you were getting 1 rand profit, now you're going to get 10 rand profit. Overnight you can become a millionaire. Imagine. Just sell that consignment, overnight becoming a millionaire. And then too, you resist. So it is easy. Not easy, difficult. What about dreams you'll have, you know? You'll give an explanation for yourself. Perhaps it is not really stolen goods. Maybe it's backdoor goods, you know, it's not Like how you get this foreign cigarettes or something, you know. So maybe it's unlicensed. So it's not really stolen, but it's backdoor, unlicensed. So it's not totally haram. So you'll give sort of explanations just to justify it, prove it, and become eligible to that 1 million. Or say, then I have 1 million, then you know, that one, I need to build on masjid also, you know. So you'll bribe Allah Ta'ala. Allah, you know, I'll get the 1 million, that, you know, that one masjid there in that, Ikopo somewhere, I need to build on masjid. Allah, don't worry, I'll get the masjid there for you, Allah Ta'ala. So you'll bribe Allah Ta'ala. So you see that jihad al nafs, jihad on the nafs is not a one-off thing. It comes all the time, all the time. One trial just finishes up and that second trial is just there. One trial finishes up and the next trial is just there. Yeah. Sometime it comes from a third front. You want support. Like you are in politics, for example, so you want support, right? Like you get this Ka'b ibn Ashraf, who was a Jew, you know. So he came with a delegation of Jews to Makkah Mukarramah, just around Uhud or after Uhud. The Quraysh gave him a big welcome, very, very warm welcome, respected him. The whole delegation was very much respected because it was high profile. This Ka'b was like a leader. So they gave him a very, very welcome. You know, they give 21 gun salute and all that. So olden days, how they were giving salute and all that. So they gave a very, very good welcome they gave him. So then, he knew the buttons to press now, because on the one end, the Muslims are a common enemy to the Jew and to the Quraysh. So it's a common, the Muslim is the common enemy. So he also wants to eliminate, and this Quraysh also went to eliminate the Muslim. So anyway, they got talking, and Abu Sufyan says, you know what? You know, normally the Jew is considered to be a treacherous person. So to show that you are really truthful, you must swear your allegiance to us. That you're not going to betray us, you're going to be absolutely truthful. So in the course of your swearing allegiance, you will hold on to the Kaaba Sharif and swear allegiance that you will hold with us very firmly, right till the end. They prepare to do it. Number two, you must bow down to our idols, Lat and Uzza. So you must bow down to those idols. So he's prepared to do that as well. Now, he is coming from a background, Ahla Kitab, right? Idolatry is shirk for them. Is clear shirk, but he wants to score some political mileage. So to gain that political mileage, he can also prostrate. Then the third thing they asked him is, all right, whose religion is better, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or us? So Ka'b ibn Ashraf asked, just explain to me your religion. And what is the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Gave him a little bit of explanation. And now he was readily to say, هَاُولَيْ أَهْدَى مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا سَبِيلًا. Don't worry, your religion is on, you are on the truth and these people are astray. You are on the truth and they are astray. Whereas, يَجِدُونَهُ عِنْدَهُمْ يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Whereas they find the description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by them. They find it by them in the Torah. They find Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as though they find him alive. The description is so vivid, so clear. They're finding him alive. But now, it's a case of a political mileage. I need to see, you know, which way I turn, just to get some political mileage. So he's prepared to bow down to those idols, prepared to say that these people are better guided, right? Prepared to even destroy the one that they find in their own kitab. So just to get political advantage, what a person can't do. So the ulama say that just knowledge is not sufficient. See, Kabir Ashraf was one of their rabbis, the scholar. He knew the Torah off by heart. Cover to not cover, he was a scholar. So just that knowledge, scholar is one who has knowledge. So knowledge is not sufficient, just knowledge. This is where many students go off. They come to a madrasa and they are learning, they are educating themselves. They are excelling in ilm and they feel now we have gained it, we have got it. So if that was sufficient, then why didn't it stop him from kufr and shirk and disbelief? From fighting against a Nabi? From conniving against Haqq? So if this was true, right, they were on the Haqq first. They were recipients of a divine book. So just that knowledge, if it was sufficient, then why didn't he stop them? So it shows that just that knowledge is not sufficient. The same thing happened to Bal'am Ba'ura. Same thing. نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. We had given him our knowledge. Bal'am. Allah says, نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا. We had blessed him with our knowledge. وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. But he got inclined towards material. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. What happened there was, the Amalika got to know that Musa alayhi salam is going to fight against the Amalika. Now, to save their souls, to save their skin, they thought, what can we do? We can't fight against a Nabi. Because the Nabi has got divine strength. We can't fight against Allah Ta'ala. Now, how do we save ourselves? So they went up to Bal'am ibn Ba'ura, who they had heard was a mustajabud da'wat. His du'as get answered. You do this and, you know, we'll see you right. Initially he resisted. He said, you see, you're asking me to pray against a Nabi, that you're asking me to get into self-destruction. I will destroy myself. So they asked him, only you must, or let me make istikhara. The first night he made istikhara, no clear indication that don't do it. Second again. Now, carry on doing second, third, fourth. Now the dreams, that indication that he was receiving in the dream was all stopped. So now, he misconstrued it to his own favor. See now, Allah doesn't mind me making dua against Musa alayhi salam because there's no guidance I'm receiving. Together with that, what they did is they gave a couple of good kilos of gold to his wife. Right? Temptation. So the easiest temptation is to give something through the wife. So the wife knows the right buttons to press. Right? She knows what to press and how to sway you, how to manipulate you. She knows. She's living so many years with you, she doesn't know. What you like? Half moon, full moon, samosa, rocket. She knows now. And which chutney, jalapeno. Put that one there, put this spice there. She knows how to spice the whole thing up. After so many years, she doesn't know you. She knows what buttons to press. She knows exactly. Right. So eventually, they tempted him with wealth, whatever. and he made dua. So his tongue lolled out, and the words went against him. His tongue lolled out, like how the dog's tongue lolls out. You know, it's grasping for breath, so its tongue is out. So his tongue remained lolled out, and the words went back onto him. So this Ka'b ibn Ashraf also had knowledge. Bal'am also had knowledge. So what are you short of then? Both had knowledge. Then both were short of something. They felt that the knowledge was sufficient. Like how many times the madrasas, students feel now we've got knowledge and we are well equipped because we've got something sufficient. So there is something serious that they are lacking. Here, Allah Pak bears testimony that we gave knowledge. Balam and Ka'b ibn Ashraf, he's called Utul Ilm in the pages of the Quran, also person of knowledge. So Allah Pak is calling them knowledge, people of knowledge. But then what was the thing that moved them away, turned them away? And it turned him so badly that Bal'am, he realized now, I'm gone. I'm perished. Now I'm perished, I'm gone. So let me destroy them as well. Let me destroy the Bani Israel. So he told the Amalika, you see what? I'm gone now. I'm a write-off, finish. There's no room for me to come back. I'm a write-off. But I can show you something, at least you can delay the process for yourselves. You know, you can delay the process in your favor. Everything will happen, but you can delay the process. So how can we delay the process? Help will come, it will come to the people of Haqq. But then how do you delay the process? He says to him, you delay the process like this. What you do, you see the Bani Sahil, they are out of home. And it's about already 2, 3 years, 4 years, they're out of home. Right? So they'll be really, really craving for women, see? So your prettiest woman, leave them strewn in the streets, in their streets. And they must offer no resistance. Anybody shows interest, they must show no resistance. Meanwhile, Musa alayhi salam warned them, but don't, this is a test. It's a severe test. Don't ever get into this. Now, imagine you're 3, 4 years out of home, and this pretty woman there, they're showing no resistance. So what a difficult trial this was now. The Bani Israel, they stopped, right? But one person, he got tempted. Right? When he got tempted, and he went and did something haram. So, a plague broke out and 70,000 were killed. See that? We think to ourselves that this indecency, illicit relationship doesn't have a consequence. So what a consequence is? See, 70,000 lives are lost. Now, we need to see within the framework of our lives. Sometimes it's school students, right? What happens? Whether it's Islamic or it is secular schools, whether it is a college or a university, even a business environment, and what doesn't happen? Especially if you are in a position of strength and authority, you're the boss and there are some tombies working around, secretary, whatever, they want the job. Even in a school environment, if it's a woman teacher, she wants a job. I know one supervisor of schools, you know, old, they should have a supervisor, so he was here. Not the Sabarit, but someone else. Don't think so. So he explained to me that he was doing his rounds in one of the schools. So he happened to pass one row of classes. And from one classroom, he's hearing someone crying. So he's a supervisor. Now he has to see what's happening. So he knocked the door. It was a young Muslim girl that was crying. So he asked what happened. So she said, you see, I'm a teacher here. And I don't want to teach, but my mother is widowed. There's nobody to look after the house. So I'm forced to leave the house and come to the school environment, rotten environment. But the headmaster wants some favors from me. And if I don't give in, I don't get a promotion. What do I do now? See? You see how difficult it is. And if you just give in, then you are in. What are you inviting? This is a woman now. She's torn now between her job, between her salary and promotion, and her self-respect and dignity. What must she do? She gives in, and her dignity is gone. Her respect is gone for life. She doesn't give in. Then this person marks her down, and from the position she is demoted. Instead of being promoted, what must she do? So you see, this jihad carries on. Now this is a jihad where you are in a position of strength, and in that position of strength also you're very firm, very strong. Then you don't break up. See, that position of strength doesn't mean you must abuse. It doesn't mean that you must exploit. It doesn't mean that you must take advantage over someone's life or his respect or his dignity. Especially when a person is in a circumstance and then you take advantage over that person, then very quickly the anger of Allah Ta'ala rushes towards you. Poor person was in a plight, you know. He was in a fix, in a circumstance. And you took advantage over the circumstance. Something to that person, right? So remember, the process of Allah Ta'ala, it comes in time. It doesn't mean that if it didn't come now, it won't come. It will come in time. One fisherman was doing fishing for a livelihood, you know. So he pulled out a good fish, good size. Couple of good fishes he pulled out. He said, all right, one I'll take home and the others I'll sell. So it's good sizes and at least I can take about 400-500 rands home. Plus I got something for the house. En route to his house, one policeman comes up. This fish here, I'm prepared to give you 5 rand. Give me the fish. You know, this is a livelihood. I live off this. No, you have to give it to me for 5 rands. It's my wife and children. So the policeman took out his shambok and gave one shot. Gave the 5 rand, took the fish away. What can he do? His only recourse is now to complain to Allah Ta'ala. This was for my wife and my children, and this person took advantage over me. Allah, I got no recourse. See now that Mazloom comes in different ways. Sometimes it is an orphan child, sometimes it's an estate problem, it's a girl that's involved, it's your own sister, and you take advantage because you know they won't speak very easily. And you're taking advantage over them, right? Father Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullahi, his father had passed on. So it was their family home. Up till recently, India, most places, they didn't have that communal pipes, you know. They didn't have water, communal pot. You had your own well, and you were drawing out water from the well. I saw that time, you draw out water or you pump. They didn't have this government supply. Now they've got everywhere, they've got government supply. So it was now the family home that had to be divided between him and his sister. So that one home will have one water pump. He divided the house, and the section on the pump, he gave it onto his sister's section. And his section, he's got no pump now. He has to put up a new pump on his section. So his sister got very angry, said, "You're treating me like a stranger, you're dividing the house and doing all that." Like how women emotionally become emotional. So she said, "No, Ben, you misunderstood the point. See, this is a Sharia law that we should make a distribution. So I'm doing the distribution as per the law of the Sharia, that this is yours. But now, as for the relationship between me and you, you will see me now, you will see my true colors now, that now I will be not only a brother, but also a father to you. I will show you the affection of a father and a brother. Before it was just a brother and a sister relationship. Now it's both father and sister relationship. So I will do what my father used to do, and I will do what a brother has to do." So he put the well onto her side, and he took the one, and he showed her even more love than what he showed, what he should have shown before, or what he had shown before. So you get these type of situations. It's a tight situation, because now you've got a wife and you've got children, and everybody's sitting on your head. Before you were alone, and you thought you could have managed affairs, you could have done things, but now all these things have piled up. It's your wife, it's your children, they got their takazas, they got their demands against you. And if you don't accede to their demands, they get angered, they become disturbed. Before you were alone, you could just do, you could tilt things, you know, in their favor. But now that you got this whole kutum with you now, whole kutum you got with you, and them to see that they're getting a fair share, a good share, not a small thing that. When you were alone, it was easy, but now you got this whole jamaat now. So you're still tilting the scale in their favor. That's the real test. So this fisherman, he goes and cries to Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala, if I'm helpless, you're not helpless. If I don't have a support, you aren't one that is obliged and obligated to anybody. I have nobody to turn to besides you. You're my only support. So anyway, this fisherman, he went to clean the scales. In the process, something got him whilst he was cleaning the scale. One finger was hurt. So initially he didn't worry about it. Then it swelled up and it became septic. So he went and showed a doctor. The doctor said it's already gangrene, you have to amputate. One finger, the second finger, and the third one. You see how it happens. All these things started off, a lot of these problems started off because you suppressed someone's right. We don't realize it. You suppressed, you ate someone's right. Now you have to pay for it, and you pay for it very dearly. Rather, give him a little bit extra. But you don't eat up anybody's right. Don't take his curses. Rather, give him something more, but you don't take that person's curse. He must leave you happily. See? It's easier to remain a Muslim than to be a Zalim. Muslim, you're getting people's curses. Right? Zalim, you're getting people's curses. Muslim, it's too clear. So all the fingers are cut off. Then the gangrene spread on. Now the whole palm is cut off. See? And the gangrene is moving up. Maybe this policeman had done some good in his life. So he saw a dream. Until which point, which time will you allow your hand to be cut? You know? Why are you allowing your hand to be cut like this? Why don't you go and sort it out with the fisherman? she robbed him, you suppressed that man. He's got a wife, he's got children, he's got, like you have responsibilities, he also has responsibilities. Like he's got feelings, like you got feelings, he's also got feelings. Right? So you are considerate of your responsibilities, are you considerate of his responsibilities? You considerate of your wife and children, are you considerate of his wife and children? So he saw this dream. He got up in a shock. He went and gave that person his full amount. You know, this was the worth of the fish. 500 rands, gave a little bit more. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, make me maaf. Then he had to go and sort it out. His hand got sorted out. But because of the delay, he lost. Till the farm he lost. Because that he was moving at a tremendous speed, was moving right up. He could have lost his whole hand. So many a times it happens to us that we don't see our actions, or we don't see the consequence of our actions. We hurt someone, sometimes it is a verbal insult. Verbally we hurt someone. And then something comes on our way. We don't realize that verbally we've hurt someone. Sometimes mentally we have traumatized the person. Now the type of wrong you do, the same thing comes back onto you. It strikes you again. So the right thing is, don't hurt. And if you feel, you know, even if it's a doubt, rather give him something more, and you come out of the whole situation. It's easier to give 5 rands more than to take 5 rands, you know, to take 5 rands more. To give more is easier, but to take more 5 rands, that's difficult. You know, some du'as are such, can they never get rejected. One is the curse of the oppressed. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. There's no veil. It goes straight. So whoever it is, be it your sister, be it your brother, be it a cousin, be it a family member, be it a stranger. But we make sure that we don't hurt anybody. You know, in money-wise, in their respect, in the way we relate to them and interact with them, socialize with them. So we need to ensure these things here. Now what it takes, it's a family member, just to phone him up, how are you? If it's they're living at a distance. And they're near, then we go and visit them. A simple way to do sila rahimi, and simple way to do a little bit of family relationship, right? Is you cook something special. Now paya you made, right? Paya, or the old days is to make kichro. You know, kichro, Muharram time. Doesn't have to made quick. It doesn't have to be only in Muharram time. But generally the ladies make a lot of kichra, right? So you, about 10 aunties, you go out, uncles, you take everybody one small pot. Now you make some sila rahimi. Now that is an old, outdated version. So you know, kichra type is gone. Modern aunties don't make so much kichra and all that, right? Alright. Don't overburden them. I'm not telling you must burden them. Right? They'll tell you either we or kichra, one of the two. Right? So when you can't burden them, then do it in another way. Another way to show that little bit of family relationship. Like some fruit has come up, right? Like it's, for example, it's orange season. You know, you're getting some good oranges from Ikopo or Grey Town somewhere. Nice quality oranges. So you want about 20 sacks. You gave every auntie, uncle, cousin. How are you? Jazakallah, this, that. So you gave something. So haven't you improved relationship? Have you maintained good relationship? The better was, kichra was better, the better thing. But you couldn't do that. At least something was in. Then came some other season now, right? Right, and you bought something. You're not going to spend like this, then you're going to be wasting other places also. What are you going to be wasting? Mags. Stupid things. People spend money, all nonsense they spend. One jacket, they saw the brand of the jacket. There were 20 jackets lying in the cupboard, one more jacket. So buy this, and you'll make Sila Rahimi. So you phone your auntie, give this one here, this uncle here, that uncle, this auntie, your father's friend, mother's friend. He's all part of your family. Even your father's friends, mother's friends, you will respect them as well. Small thing, how are your uncle, so-and-so? Or Haji Saab, olden days they should say Cha-Cha, Mota or Cha-Cha. Now this uncle. Before when we were small, only for a Hindustani someone would say uncle. For a Muslim we say Cha-Cha, uncle, or uncle, Mota or something. Now it's everybody's uncle. Anyway, whatever it is, whichever word of respect you'll use, but it's a nice, easy way to do some family relationship. How easy it is. You just brought about a smile on that auntie's face. She's old now. And then she, many times, if you do this, you'll find an old auntie says, from all the other connections, you at least think of us. She's old and she's aged, right? She can't do much, but she'll tell you, at least you think of us, you come to us. Imagine the du'as that you get. How much it takes you? It takes a lot. Mango season came, you brought mangoes a little bit. Leeches season came, you brought leeches. So you brought something to the house. Now this cheers, and if there was something in between, that's also forgotten. Sometimes you have to say someone something straight. Now, hey, you're eating my head now. But then you need to cover it up. It's a cousin now. You need to cover it up. How are you going to cover it up? You told him what you told him, but now you're just going to carry on like that, be very tight-lipped and very, very strict now. So they'll also keep away from you. And just cover it up. All right, one day I shouted him, now let's try and cover it up. You bought some sweets, some chocolate, something here, there. Just cover the thing up again, nicely. Isn't it a simple way? وَمَا يُؤَمَّرُ مِن مُؤَمَّرٍ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ أُمُرِهِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ. See, everybody got a destined time to live. You can't cross that destined. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَعْتًا. When your appointed time comes, then you can't exceed that appointed time. So the Sahaba Ikram asked, وَمَا يُؤَمَّرُ مِن مُؤَمَّرٍ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ أُمُرِهِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ. This verse is showing that you get some type of a bonus, you know. You get some type of a bonus. And the other verse shows that إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَ. Okay, when your appointed time comes, then there's no bonus, there's no excess. So how do you reconcile both the verses? The hadith explains, okay, you get the same amount of time. Time is the same. Right? But you get more opportunities in that time. Like, you know, both got highs, right? Highs got a capacity to take so much of goods, right? But now, he's got a highs and it's loaded with stone, right? So he took his capacity. He took stones, right? But this person did Sila Rahimi and he did some work of goodness. So now he takes precious stones to that same extent. I ask you that one precious stone, is there any comparison to this one precious stone and the whole load of stones there? So now you also take stones, but that becomes precious. Becomes precious, now you get that opportunity. So both got opportunities. Generally I notice when person is good to his relation, the relatives, in that you have to be a little bit endurant. Someone, auntie will shout you, someone will say something, whatever. You may just take it on. You don't back answer, don't back chat, don't be tit for tat. Just be endurant and just carry on, go with the flow, just be good to them. So what happens, Lapak brings a lot of opportunities your way to do some dini khidmat, do this, do that, do that. He offers you opportunities. But for that you have to be good with them. And being good with them means that you have to be endurant. they're nonsense, this one here, that, whatever. And listen to everybody, but do their work. And you want to be tight-lipped and very straight and everything, then it doesn't work out. Then you get deprived of opportunities. But you can take every nonsense, this person nonsense, that person's. But yet you can still do the work with a smile. Now that is great. If you look in Dioban, you know, the greater ulama kiram, then this is what they were doing. Sri Muhammad Shafi Sahib, his sisters and aunties and all, they were in Dioban that time before he could move to Karachi. So they're living with a very tight budget. Very tight budget. That time, very tight budget. But he will make sure that every month from his salary, he'll take out a certain amount for his sisters and for his aunts. And he'll buy something for them. See that all the houses are moving well. Every month, without fail. He's seeing to that. And then he's doing the work as well. He looked at Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib. He's the Mufti of the whole India at the time. But then, in his free time, what he's doing, or this auntie, that widow, this one here needs something. So, in that zamana, even in fact, when we were there in India, they don't give you packets and all. So, you come with your own pot, and you fill up and go. Now, he's going, now imagine a big Mufti Sahib is going in the street with a pot and all that. But he's doing this auntie's work, that widow's work, this one's work. 20% work he's doing as well. Until some senior ulama will tell him, now, you see, now you're big Mufti Sahib now. Don't move around with the pots around everywhere. But they had a passion for doing this. Then Allah gave them opportunities. See. وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ أُمُرِهِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مَا يُعَمَّرُ. So in that same time, you get so much opportunities. Allah allows you to do this, so much more you do. Like now I told you that high ace you got, but he's filled it up with precious stones and you filled it up with stones. Both had a capacity, right? So this opportunity is given to that person, generally who is good and kind, especially with your own families. And now it becomes even more important to show that, because people don't want to know the families. Don't want to come, don't want to assert, don't want to talk, keep a distance. One word and now after that, I don't want to talk to you, I don't listen to you. We don't agree. But at least some muhabbat, some respect, some consideration. Even if they rude, even they abusive, even they insulting, you don't worry about them. We just do what our Nabi said told us. Because we are enslaved to him. When we enslaved to him, we just do what he said. If that person can be abusive, he can insult, he can be rude, he can do behind our backs, whatever, let him do whatever he needs to do. But the blessings that you will get, and that blessings will not only be enjoyed by you, even your children will enjoy that blessings. You will enjoy it, and your children will also enjoy it. And how it comes, Allah Bak knows. But you will definitely get it. Yeah. Allah Bak knows. We'll make dua today. Ubaid dua.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم قنا عذابك يوم تبعث عبادك اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا وإذا أردت بقوم فتنة فتوفنا غير مفتون اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا وأصلح ذات بيننا واهدنا سبل السلام ونجنا من الظلمات إلى النور وجنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم بارك لنا في أسماعنا وأبصارنا وقلوبنا وأزواجنا وذرياتنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. واجعلنا شاكرين لنعمتك مثنين بها قابليها وأتمها علينا. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا. اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا، ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا غاية رغبتنا، ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والفعل والنية والهدي، إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونستهديك. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وعورة وذنب وخطيئة. اللهم اهدنا لأحسن الأخلاق، لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت، واصرف عنا سيئها، لا يصرف عن سيئها إلا أنت. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا، وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا، ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة، إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين.